नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 25, the chapter is entitled The Characteristics of King Paranjana. Today is text 25. Tam, aha, alitam, vira, savita, smita, Shobanam, Snigdena, Apanga Pukena, Spishta, Kema Ubramat, Kema Ubramat, Bruva, Tamahaloitam Viraha. Vidasmita sobanam stigdena panga pukena spishta primo brahmaduha tamahalalitam viraha savidasmita sobanam Snigdena panga pukena Spishta primo brahma bhuva Please chant. Messages. Hero, Savritha, with shyness, Smita, smiling, Shobanam, very beautiful, Snigdena, by sex desire, Apanga Pukena, by the arrow of glancing, Spishta, thus pierced. Prema Udbramat, exciting love. Bruva, by the eyebrows. Translation, purport by Estevan Gracie, Sibhakti Vedanta, Swami Srila Prabhupada. Paranjana, the hero, became attracted by the eyebrows and smiling face of the very beautiful girl, and was immediately pierced by the arrows of her lusty desires. When she smiled shyly, she looked very beautiful to Paranjana, who, although a hero, could not refrain from addressing her. Please repeat. Paranjana the hero became attracted by the eyebrows and smiling face
of the very beautiful girl,
and was immediately pierced by the arrows of her lusty desires. When she smiled shyly, she looked very beautiful to Paranjana, who, although a hero, could not refrain from addressing her. Purport. Every living entity is a hero in two ways. When he's a victim of the illusory energy, he works as a hero in the material world, as a great leader, politician, businessman, industrialist, etc. And his heroic activities contribute to the material advancement of civilization. One can also become a hero by being master of the senses, a Goswami. Material activities are false heroic activities, whereas restraining the senses from material engagement is great heroism. However great a hero one may be in the material world, he can be immediately conquered by the lumps of flesh and blood known as the breasts of a woman. In the history of material activities, there are many examples, like the Roman hero Antony, who was captivated by the beauty of Cleopatra. Similarly, a great hero in India named Baji Rao became a victim of a woman during the time of Maharashtrian politics, and he was defeated. There are some of you from Maharashtra. Do you know Baji Rao? Yeah. He was defeated because he was victimized by his lusty desires. From history, we understand that formerly politicians used to employ beautiful women who were trained as Visha Kanya. These girls had poison injected into their bodies from the beginning of their lives, so that in due course of time, they would become so immune to the poison and so poisonous themselves that simply by kissing a person, they could kill him. Is this practice still going on? These poisonous girls were engaged to see an enemy and kill him with a kiss. Thus, there are many instances in human history of heroes who have been curbed simply by women. Being part and parcel of Krishna, the living entity is certainly a great hero, but due to his own weakness, he becomes attracted to the material features. Krishna Bahir Mukha Hana Boga Vansha Kare Nikatasta Maya Tare Japatiya Dare. It is said in the Prema Vivarta that when a living entity wants to enjoy material nature, he is immediately victimized by the material energy. A living entity is not forced to come into the material world. He makes his own choice, being attracted by beautiful women. This is a brahmachari class, by the way, or brahmacharini class, in case you didn't know. That wasn't announced this morning? No? Every living entity has the freedom to be attracted by material nature or to stand as a hero and resist that attraction. It is simply a question of the living entities being attracted or not being attracted. There's no question of his being forced to come into contact with material energy. One who can keep himself steady and resist the attraction of material nature is certainly a hero and deserves to be called a Goswami. Unless one is master of the senses, he cannot become a Goswami. The living entity can take one of two positions in this world. He may become a servant of his senses, or he may become master of them. In becoming a servant of the senses, one becomes a great material hero. And by becoming master, of the senses, he becomes a Goswami or a spiritual hero. Tamaha lalitam viraha savrida smita shobanam snigdena panga pukena spishta premod brahma bhuga. Ranjana, the hero, became attracted by the eyebrows and smiling face of the very beautiful girl and was immediately pierced by the arrows of her lusty desires. When she smiled shyly, she looked very beautiful to Paranjana, who, although a hero, could not refrain from addressing her. Om Gyanatimananda Shaganjana Shadapaya Chakshur Umlitam Gina Tashmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Pumsastri Amituni Bhava Amitam Tayor Mito Ridaya Gantamahu Atogriha Shetra Sutakta Vitaya Janasha Moho Yamaham Amiti. So Lord Rishabdev describes in the fifth canto, fifth chapter, that the attraction between male and female forms the basic principle of material existence. On the basis of this attraction, one becomes attached to his body, his home, his property, his children, and his wealth. In this way, one increases life's illusions and thinks in terms of I and mine. So, you know, I'm sorry if anybody of you are on your honeymoon, to dispel any of your grihasthas are on a honeymoon now. I don't want to, you know, crush the bliss of the honeymoon fever, but this is actually the reality, that this attraction between male and female is a basic principle of material existence. It's the source of our encagement in this prison house of the material world. And 99.9% of the human population on this planet Earth are mad after this sex pleasure. Yan maitunadi grihamedi sukham hitutsam kanduya nena kayaor iva dukkha dukkham chipyanti neha kripana bahuduka bhaja kandutivan manasijam pishaheta dira. So here Prahlad Maharaj, in his instructions to his great father, who was a great hero on the material platform, because he was a servant of his senses, a very expert servant of his senses. But he's saying that this this sex attraction can be compared to the rubbing of two hands together to relieve an itch. And not a very, you know, exalted form of pleasure, you know, as Prahlad Maharaj is describing it. This is the itchy time of year here in Bengal. So just scratching the itch, not exactly ecstasy. But the materialist, he thinks this is the highest form of pleasure. But those who are dira and who control themselves and don't go for that, they actually experience a much higher level of happiness and pleasure. So let's explore that. Now, before I go into this exploration of these two types of pleasure and how we can access the highest possible pleasure available to the jiva in this material world. Let's give a little brief analysis of the allegory that Narada Muni, who in Chaitanya Lila is Shivas Thakur Ki Jai. It's his disappearance day today. Okay, so I'm going to try to connect the two. There is some connection that will come up later. I'm constrained by the time factor to some extent here, but I'll try my best. So this Paranjana is the soul. Actually, Narada Muni, as he's instructing Pachina Varhishat, this King Paranjana is actually King Pachini Barhasat. So this allegory is to give him sufficient sambandha gyan. Jiva Goswami, in his commentary on text 9 of this chapter, describes how Narada Muni could evaluate the qualification of King Pachini Parashat, that he wasn't really qualified to take up Uttama Bhakti, so therefore he is instructing him in Jnana Mishra Bhakti. So he's giving him sufficient Jnan so that he can come a little bit off of the sensual platform, which is required for understanding transcendental subjects. If one's a gross hedonist, very difficult. So, in this allegory, this beautiful woman represents material intelligence. And just as we see most of the world's population in the male body, in the human form, they're dancing dogs in the hands of their better half, in the hands of their wife. So the jiva in the material world has this very penetrating relationship with his material intelligence, and he's a dancing dog to this material intelligence, which guides him deeper and deeper into satisfying his senses, gratifying his senses. And that guidance completely obscures the jiva's original identity. And just covers and just blinded, doesn't know who he is or what the purpose of life is. So Narada Muni gives very compassionately, which is characteristic of the pure devotee. This compassion is a function of bhakti. It can't be artificially achieved, as the social welfare do-gooders would have us believe. You know, just by donating, we can help these poor people with soup kitchens and education and assist them in going to hell. This is the reality. But genuine welfare activity comes about as a natural byproduct of the bhakti in the heart of the Madhyama Vaishnava. Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Jiva Dharma describes the switchover point from mixed devotion to Uttama Bhakti as the same as the transition from Kanishtha Vaishnava to Madhyama Vaishnava. So at that point, Ishvare Tad Adineshu, Bali Sheshu Dvisatsu Cha, Prema Maitri Kripol Peksha, Ya, what is it? Ya majjhima kuloti. Ya kuloti sa majjhima. Okay. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mother Sarasvati. So, the function of the Madhyama, this is 11th canto, second chapter, 46th text. This describes the characteristic of the Madhyama. He expresses his love. He loves the Supreme Lord, Ishvara. He makes friendship with fellow Madhyama Vaishnavas. Tad adineshu maitri develops friendship. Actually, extremely important to have these nurturing relationships. Without it, very difficult to stay fixed in Krishna consciousness. And then balisha. The balishas are those that are ignorant but innocent. And so he's kripa, he's merciful to them. This is the primary act of compassion of the Madhyama. Absolutely essential function of the Madhyama to make progress in Krishna consciousness. And this is actually how the Krishna consciousness movement is spread throughout the world. And this is why Prabhupada, in text 5 of Nectar of Instruction, said that one should have the intelligence to understand his own position and the position of others. He should not be satisfied to stay on the Kanishtha platform, but as quickly as possible should come to the Madhyama Vaishnava platform. Because when one comes to the Madhyama platform, his faith is very strong. He's not easily distracted by material allurement. You know, so there's less chance of fall down. I'm tempted to ask everyone to do a Hiranyakashipu asana. Does everybody know what a Hiranyakashipu asana is? It's when you stand on your tiptoes, and you don't have to do it for 100 years, but reach as high as you can. It keeps you awake. It's amazing, you know, how powerful it is. Because in spite of all of my corny American jokes, some of you are still falling asleep. So feel free to do Hiranyakashipu asana. But don't follow in his footsteps in any other way. Please, I beg you. Is everybody awake? Even just the thought of a Hiranyakashipu asana works. Okay. So this... So here we basically... We've got the material intelligence... And we've got two kinds of heroes. Okay, so the materially intelligent person is on that corner of the table. Okay, this little jiva who's thinking he's the center of the universe, and this universe is there for my gratification, and I'm going to use every possible means at my disposal. This is what the material, being a dancing dog of the material intelligence, does to us. I'm going to get my green card to America as soon as possible. I know a lot of you are NIT or IIT students, so don't fall for it, okay? It's a big illusion. I come from America. I came from America for a reason, to get away from all that illusion. Okay, so that's one end of the spectrum. The other end of the spectrum is the spiritually intelligent Goswami. And his understanding is that Krishna is the center of the universe. My senses, my very life, every aspect of my being, every endeavor that I perform, every thought that comes through my consciousness is dedicating to giving pleasure to that Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. Okay, so now... We're all sadhakas to one degree or another. So we're somewhere between that corner of the table and this corner. To the degree that we're on this end of the spectrum, to that same degree, we suffer horribly. we're constantly disturbed because our, you know, this beautiful woman with big breast and thin waist is pushing me to try to enjoy in this material world and making all kinds of arrangements so that my senses are constantly being engaged with the objects of the senses. I'm getting further and further entangled. My mind is completely disturbed because I'm not satisfied. No matter where I travel in the universe, I suffer. Okay, everyone got that point down? We're going to test you on this. No, we won't test you. The material energy will test you to see how well you've paid attention and how, you know, at least you've mentally done the Hiranyakashipu asana. Okay, so on that end of the spectrum, this personality, because his life is dedicated to giving pleasure to Krishna. In a 1974 Bhagavad Gita class in Ahmedabad, Srila Prabhupada described that one, if you try to please Krishna, then you will be pleased. You try to please the illusory self, that doesn't work. It's a very, very difficult position to be in. One other point on this end of the spectrum before I go back to that end. Keshava Bharti Maharaj had a question that he had saved up for many, many months. This is the counterpart of the Hiranyakashipu asana. Anyway, it's a struggle we all have to go through in life to stay awake in a Bhagavatam class. ISKCON's sleeping pill. Keshava Bharti Maharaj had a question that he had been pondering for many months. And he wanted to ask Srila Prabhupada, and he was waiting for the right moment to pop the big question to Srila Prabhupada. And his question was, how do we know if Krishna is pleased with us, with our service? How do we know if Krishna is pleased? Okay, so he had predisposed himself to how he felt Prabhupada would answer. He thought Prabhupada would say, well, you'll know that Krishna is pleased because your temple president is pleased. Or he thought maybe Prabhupada would say, you'll know that Krishna is pleased because I'll be pleased. And he was really intrigued and actually a bit surprised, even a little shocked, with the answer that Srila Prabhupada gave him. Prabhupada said, you'll know that Krishna is pleased because you will be deeply satisfied. Tigache? Everyone got that's an important part of this end of the spectrum. Anando Maya Vyasat. Vedanta Sutra describes this as a characteristic of Krishna, that Krishna is always seeking pleasure. So as tiny parts and parcels of Krishna, us jivas share this characteristic. We're also seeking pleasure. So the intelligent pleasure seeker, he seeks it here. And the way he seeks that is by dedicating his life to optimizing the pleasure that Krishna derives from his activities in this body. And he understands how to do this by Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. A very, very clear formulas of how to give Krishna the highest pleasures. And there's an interesting another analogy is given in the 11th chapter, 11th canto, 2nd chapter. Bhakti Pureshano Bhavo Viraktir Anitra Chaisa Chika Ekakala Padyamanasya Yatashnatashus Tushti Pushti Shurupayo Nugasan. So bhakti, an awareness of Krishna's presence in one's life, and detachment from other things occurs simultaneously for one who's engaged in the process of bhakti. Just as one who's engaged in the process of eating, and don't worry, it will be there when the class is over. Mahaprasade Govinde. Okay, so in the process of eating, there are three things that also occur simultaneously and progressively. One derives pleasure from eating, he gets nourishment, and his hunger is eradicated. Okay? So we compare those three aspects of the eating process to the process of bhakti. So as we eat, we derive pleasure. As we perform uttama bhakti, whoo, man, there's a very, very high level of pleasure. Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he describes there's three kinds of pleasures for the jiva in the material world. There's a sense pleasure, superior to that. There's a pleasure of liberation, superior to that is the pleasure of devotional service. And the pleasure of devotional service is inclusive of material sense gratification, although we don't pursue it, but a pure devotee automatically senses are satisfied. And, you know, of liberation, you know, when doesn't have the suffering of the gross materialist, when one achieves kleshagni, just on a sadhana bhakti platform. And another interesting characteristic of the pleasure of devotional service is that it is eternal. It is eternal. Okay, can someone give me an example in their own life of how the pleasure of bhakti has been eternal in their life? For 10 pieces of burfi from Radha Madhava's Mahaprasadam stand. Okay, no one wants the burfi, that's okay, I'll take it. I'll give an example in my own life. For the first 16 years I was a devotee, I distributed Srila Prabhupada's books. That was my service. It was tough. It's, you know, America is, believe me, all you NIT and IIT students, America is not the promised land. It's hell there, because people forget Krishna like anything. And to distribute, you know, you can't imagine how many times I spent the night in jail because I was distributing Prabhupada's books. One time, I had so many charges pressed against me that if I had been convicted, I would have spent 25 years in jail. My poor parents, they had to put their house up for bond to get me out of jail. You know, and then when I finally went to trial, it was about 9 months later. Kanapur Prabhu remembers that. That was a New York State Fair case. Ragatmaka, you know, you were with New York at that time. Ragatmaka Mataji. Let's see, Keshi Hunta was that was probably 1979, 1980. And so we found there were about five of us that were on trial. Big headlines in the Syracuse, New York paper. The Hare Krishna is on trial. And so they finally, you know, because all the charges were bogus, completely bogus. It was a constitutional, we were trying to exercise our free speech The government was trying to shut us down. So I actually went to the Supreme Court, this whole case, but not my case. I had criminal charges against me. I won't go into all the details. They definitely would keep you awake because it's pretty exciting. But we're going to depend upon your awoken spiritual intelligence to keep you awake. So at any rate, at the conclusion of the trial was that, okay, you're free to go as long as you stay out of Syracuse, New York for the rest of your life. 1 year later, we were back there distributing. We didn't care. So everyone awake? So the next, it was tough. I had, I remember I was distributing in a Smoky Mountain National Park. This is the park where over 12 million Americans, and a lot of them are Bible thumpers, died in the wool, Christian fanatics, and they would, okay, I won't go into all the gory details of that, but one time, a Christian minister who probably tipped the scales at about 140 kgs, I've quickly converted that into kgs, I still think in pounds, he came running across this parking lot and attacked me and started beating me. And, Hare Krishna, that's real mercy. And I just called the police on him. The guy was arrested and taken away. But, what I experienced, rather than, pain from his feeble attempts to beat me, because he was not in very good shape. He was a voracious meat eater and was severely overweight, probably not alive anymore, probably died of a heart attack many years ago. But what I experienced was transcendental ecstasy when I was going through that whole episode. And practically every single day, Raghatmaka Mataji did it for many years, because it was something that was so prioritized by Srila Prabhupada. He wanted it so much. You can show your love for me by distributing these books. You can please me by distributing these books. And so at the end of the day, we'd be banging it out in some of the most difficult circumstances in the world. In O'Hare National Airport in Chicago. I know we're in mixed company here, but I'll describe what would take place. The business executives would come through there, and they would swing their attaché case and try to, give you as much pain as possible by hitting you in your private parts. Okay, this is what we had to deal with. But at the end of the day, as we would walk down the automated walkways, and as O'Hare International Airport would turn into Chintamani, and our feet wouldn't even touch the ground. And you know something? As I described these events to you, I experienced the same taste. Okay, I got my 10 pieces of Burfi out of the story. The eternal nature of the happiness in Krishna consciousness. You can reflect on the periods that you've, some or other, Krishna's mercifully picked us up and engaged us in service. Srila Prabhupada, Patita Pavana, picked us up and engaged us in service, and somehow or other, that service is pleasing to Krishna, and psh, our head spins in bliss. We don't know how it happens. It's just an amazing way that Krishna reciprocates. Prish anubhava. This is how we experience Krishna's presence in our life, in a very powerful way, isn't it? How could everyone be sitting here? How can everybody be shaving their head and wearing these weird shikas, and just change, giving up everything? Leaving their parents, leaving their brilliant career as IIT graduates and becoming brahmacharis? You gotta be kidding me. You gotta be nuts. It's because of this incredible experience that Krishna provides us to the personification of his Ludini Shakti, Srimati Radharani. Amazing phenomena. It's a daily miracle that devotees go through. And these poor guys over on that corner, oh my God, what they got to go through. How much they get kicked in the head, you know, in their attempts to enjoy. Man. I mean, one thing, I'm about ready to go to the West. My third 5-year visa runs out. And I know when I first touch down, I'm landing in Brussels, and when I look around at all of these people, they're going to look so unhappy. It's going to be shocking, the contrast, because all I've been doing is looking at devotees. And they're going to be, because they are unhappy, because they're fish out of water. You know, they got their cigars and they got their beautiful woman, but they're floundering around outside of their natural element, which is the internal energy of the Lord. They're in the Bahiramukha Shakti. Bahiranga Shakti, I'm sorry. As opposed to the Antaranga Shakti, which each one of you are in. How fortunate you are. So if you want to go deeper into it, it's a very powerful process. And do you want to know how you can get there as quickly as possible over to that corner? Yeah? Everybody want to know? Okay, here's the clue that Rupa Goswami gives in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. If you want to radically increase your qualification to advance in Krishna consciousness, you should study Srila Prabhupada's books, because that qualification for advancing is based upon faith in and knowledge of Shastra. You gotcha? Okay, oh, I got 2 minutes to go. Let me link this with Shivas Thakur's disappearance. Four years ago, I went to Pune to meet with Radhe Shyam, Bhakti Briha Bhagavat Swami, myself, Atul Krishna. We wanted to start, we were having a meeting to start ISKCON Leeds, Leadership Education and Development Systems, and also to strategize how one person with the Mayapur Institute who was rapidly aging, how his service could be replaced. That was me, okay? So, while I was there, a very interesting thing took place. I was asked by Radhe Shyam Prabhu to address a group of middle-aged congregational members, men, who were in their late 30s and 40s. And the name of the group was the Srivas Thakur group. Okay? Is that what it's called? Srivas Thakur group, right? Okay. Still there? Still thriving? Okay. So, you know, I'm a classic example of work now, samadhi later. You know, I was always, you know, right from the beginning, a workaholic. So I didn't have so much, I didn't allocate. I didn't manage my time properly. I didn't read Prabhupada's books as much as I should have, you know, as I was growing up. And I wasn't familiar with the pastime. So I asked one of the brahmacharis, well, why do they call it the Srivas Thakur group? So then he gave me the lila. Okay, so Srivas Thakur had a large extended family. And one day, and Lord Chaitanya noticed that he never seemed to really do anything to support the family. And so this piqued Lord Chaitanya. Of course, this is all within the Lila Shakti of the Lord. So this piqued Lord Chaitanya's curiosity. And he said to Srivas Thakur, Srivas, how do you support your large family? And Srivas said, well, it's very simple. The Lord knows. Well, no, no, okay. What I do is if I have any needs, I clap my hands 3 times. And Krishna provides anything that I need. Because he knows that if I don't, if he doesn't provide my necessities, I will tie a large stone around my neck and around the necks of my family members and we'll all jump in the Ganga. Okay? Everyone awake? Okay, so what has that got to do with today's... Did I tell it reasonably well? Ami Param Manush, so memory is not so strong at this stage of life, but pretty close, right? So there's a very wonderful verse. I think it's... Twenty-second chapter, Madhya Lila. Shara Shabde Vishvashkahi Shurida Nishtaya Krishna Bhakti Kala Krishna Bhakti Kala Sarvakrama Krita Hoy. Faith, Shraddha, means that one is convinced that simply by engaging in devotional service, all subsidiary activities are automatically achieved. Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. Okay, these are the material activities. If we simply engage in devotional service, then it's described that Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha are at the doorstep of a Vaishnava waiting to serve him. This is Asa Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So, Srivast Thakur, Lord Chaitanya's pastimes as a Yuga Dharma, they began being enacted at Srivast Thakur's house. And his whole, within the Panchatattva, he's the pure devotee. He represents the pure devotee. And so, the pure devotee, Anyabhilashita Sunyam, Gyanakarma Dinavitam, Anukulyena Krishnanu, Shilanam Bhakti Uttama. The Sarup Lakshana of Uttama Bhakti, the primary characteristic is Krishnanu Shilanam Bhakti. Anukulyena Krishnanu Shilanam. Okay? Anukulyena. The devotee is simply interested in giving pleasure to Krishna. It's only concern. And he's doing that with favorable mindset in such a way that Krishna will be pleased because he's doing it under the guidance of the previous acharyas, his guru, sadhu, and shastra. So Srivast Thakur exemplified that. And then he didn't worry about, where the next meal would come from. It all just, was there. Okay, I should stop here. And if there's any questions or comments. Srivast Thakur ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Yes, Mataji. Can someone give Mataji a microphone? Turn it on.
I have to read because it's something that I wrote.
Paran Manush Mataji, so you have to put the microphone right next to your mouth, otherwise I can't hear.
You mentioned that the purpose of Narada Muni is preaching to the king. was giving him Sambandha, more knowledge about Sambandha. And then after that you mentioned Jnana Misra Bhakti. Is the same? Jnana, which is the relation
well,
between?
Yeah, them? I mean, there's that the Jnana in Jnana Misra Bhakti is Sambandha Jnana. So there's not sufficient evolution in consciousness on the Jnana Misra Bhakti platform, because there's still this fixation on knowledge acquisition. You know, it's not a total fixation. The Jnana Misra Bhakti doesn't have the fixation that the Uttama Bhakta has on pleasing Krishna. You know, he's just still trying to figure it all out. You know, he's absorbed in this way, trying to figure out, you know, what his life is all about, what the material energy is all about. You know, he's still getting to the point of viraktir anyacha, you know, of eradication of hunger in the eating process, or full detachment. So he's shooting for trying to get detached. He's got, you know, some understanding that this corner of the table doesn't give me happiness. So as his Sambandha Jnana increases, then he becomes more and more qualified to take up to begin the process of Uttama Bhakti. It leads to it. All right?
Krishna, so you said, not that you said.
Nice and loud.
That study the Shastra Srimad Bhagavatam, this is the way to make the fastest progress, or however you say. So, but what personally from reading and hearing.
Say again?
Personally from hearing, reading. I believe that it's Harinam Sankirtan, and I listened just recently to a class, Radhanath Swami, and he said that it's Harinam Sankirtan, you can make the most rapid progress.
Right.
And
okay,
otherwise you're still dhyani,
okay,
study.
Got your point. It is not contradictory. Because what I described is the eligibility for advancement. I'm not talking about actually advancing. There's a distinction between the two. I'll give you an analogy to clarify that. Are any of you headed for an MBA in your educational careers? No? Krishna's really ruined your life, hasn't he? Ruined your material life. Okay, so let us say that in order to become a crorepati or a millionaire, it's a very good qualification to have an MBA, a Master's of Business Administration, okay? But just because one has an MBA doesn't mean that he's going to be a millionaire. He may have the qualification, you know, enhanced eligibility to become a millionaire, but it doesn't mean he's going to be a millionaire. Okay, so if we want to increase our qualification to advance, what Rupa Goswami describes as the best means to do that is to study Shastra and increase our faith in Shastra by Satam Prasangam Mamavirya Sambhido Bhavanti Ritkarna Rasayana Kata Taj Joshanad Ashvaka Vargavarpani Shraddha Bhaktir Anukranishmati. No. What is it? Shraddha Bhaktir Shraddha Ratir Bhakti Anukranishmati. Yeah, sorry. Amipran Manush. So, if the discussions of the pastimes of the Lord are performed in the association of pure devotees, one very quickly develops shraddha, attachment, and then real bhakti and devotion awaken. So, it's not just book knowledge that we're talking about. And some places, Srila Prabhupada will say, like for instance, in Smartavya Sritam Vishnur Vishmartavyo Najatuchit Sarve Vidhi Nisheda Shur Etayor Eva Kinkara. In this verse, which describes, always remember Krishna and never forget him, and all the rules and regulations in the scriptures should simply be servants of these two principles. In the purport to that text, this is in Madhya 22, I believe. Prabhupada says that of all the instructions of the spiritual master, the chanting of 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra are the most essential. And in other places he says that hearing, reading, shastra is the most important. So which is it? If one hears, then he'll understand that the Yuga Dharma is the chanting of Hare Krishna. And this is how one realizes Krishna's name, his form, his pastimes, and develops Krishna praying. Is to chanting Hare Krishna. But in order to do that, like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he describes that if one does not have sufficient sambandha gyan, then his chanting will simply be filled with anartas. So in other words, by hearing from Shastra, we understand the process of bhakti. When we understand the process of bhakti, then we can chant properly. And when we chant properly, then love for Krishna awakens. But if we fail to have sufficient sambandha gyan, it's like when Prabhupada, in January 7, 1976, Srila Prabhupada had Tamal Krishna Maharaj as his secretary send a letter to all the GBC secretaries to initiate the Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhava, Bhakti Vedanta, and Bhakti Sarvabhauma degrees. And in this letter, which Prabhupada signed, he said that our movement is being criticized because many Brahmins and sannyasis are falling down due to insufficient philosophical knowledge, philosophical understanding. And if they're not falling down, they're maybe unsteady because of that. And they're also, our movement's being criticized because of an inadequate ability to properly represent our tradition philosophically. So, Prabhupada, you know, because of his intimacy with Rupa Goswami, could understand this principle, and therefore, you know, this, my favorite video is 2 minutes and 27 seconds long. And it's a Prabhupada's last translation where he's laying in his bed about 10 days before the end of his earthly lila. He's translating the 10th canto, 13th chapter, I believe it's 57th verse. And it's just amazing. It's just a testimony of the incredible level of priority that Srila Prabhupada placed on this particular service. And why did he do that?
Well,
he got every instruction, practically speaking, that he got from Shiva Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur brought him to that level of prioritization. Bhaktivinod Thakur, his very life was dedicated like this. Why is that? Because we're Rupa Nugas. Just as Lord Krishna inspired Lord Brahma from within the heart with Vedic knowledge, Lord Chaitanya inspired Rupa Goswami within the heart with Vedic knowledge, so that he could propagate Krishna consciousness throughout the world, which is what he did and is continuing to do. We're Rupa Nugas. Without the assistance of a computer or a folio database, Rupa Goswami did an amazing thing of taking the most prominent aspects of Krishna's philosophy and putting it into a very compact form so that we could take up the Yuga Dharma with full spiritual intelligence, not contaminated by material intelligence. If we don't hear our material intelligence, as this beautiful woman will take us away, and we'll become absorbed. And we see the history in ISKCON. I was initiated with 19 devotees. I'm the only person in that initiation group that's still practicing. And that's not an oddity. That is more the rule than the exception. It's different, thanks to devotees like Radhishyam Prabhu, who's emphasizing right from the very beginning, train so they will remain. Stability in Krishna consciousness is based upon studying Srila Prabhupada's books. And that's why he made it his highest priority in life. It wasn't all of the temples that was his biggest contribution. It wasn't ISKCON. It was his books. These would be the law books for the next 10,000 years. And by studying these books, then we have sufficiently fortified spiritual intelligence so that we can properly execute Vaidhisadhana Bhakti. The impetus for Vaidhisadhana Bhakti is scriptural injunction. This is what drives Sadhana Bhakti. We're not in the Raghunuga Bhakti platform or the Bhava Bhakti platform where the devotion is driven by spontaneity. Scriptural injunction. So we have to know what those scriptural injunctions are, otherwise it doesn't work. We hear the term Kanishta Adhikari, Madhyama Adhikari, Uttama Adhikari. There's one and Prabhupada pretty much would use those terms interchangeably with Kanishta Bhagavat, Madhyama Bhagavat, and Uttama Bhagavat, except in one place. Madhya 22, text 71, where he distinguishes between, there are actually two categories. Technically speaking, Prabhupada simplified things, to make it easier for us. But just for the sake of clarifying this point, because your question directly deals with this, the definitions that Rupa Goswami gives in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu of Kanishta Adhikari, Madhyama Adhikari, and Uttama Adhikari all have to do with levels of qualification to advance in Krishna consciousness. And they're based upon faith in and knowledge of Shastra. Each level of qualification is accompanied by an increased level of faith in and knowledge of Shastra. Okay, so then in this verse in purport, Prabhupada distinguishes that advancement actually means to increase one's love and attachment for Krishna. So the adhikar of being learned in Srila Prabhupada's books gives us increase in facility to develop that love and attachment for Krishna. We're following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas by studying Prabhupada's books. Our spiritual intelligence is fortifying. We know what to do and what not to do because we look at the Bhagavatam and lila after lila shows the standard of devotion. You know how a devotee should think, how he should act. We can measure ourselves against that standard. In the commentaries on the descriptions of the Kanishta Vaishnava, the Madhyama Vaishnava, and the Uttama Vaishnava, which is contained in the second chapter of the 11th canto, the commentaries are all based, you know, the Gopi Prandan and Ridananda Goswami wrote, all based upon the commentaries of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. So, on the commentary of the Kanishta Vaishnava, well, first of all, the translation that's given goes something like this, that one who does not purposely study Shastra and therefore does not properly respect advanced devotees. Pooh, just right in the translation, they bring in one who does not purposely study Shastra and therefore does not properly respect advanced devotees. Okay, so I won't go into the whole translation, but in the purport, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur describes that after hundreds of lifetimes of offering articles on the external platform, the Prakrita Bhakta, the Kanishta Vaishnava, finally begins to understand the transcendental nature of Nam. And he begins to understand his own position. And then he tries very hard to make spiritual advancement. Implicit is this is actually how that transition takes place onto the Madhyama platform. The Prakrita Bhakta, he's not so far from that corner of the table, thinking he's God's gift to the Hare Krishna movement, that he's the center of the universe. There's no one, and this is in the purporting to 11.2.47, he can't imagine anyone more qualified than him, than himself. In other words, he's a little bit proud. So when he starts to understand the standard of real devotion, actually that's the term that's used. This is the paraphrasing of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. When he begins to understand the standard of pure devotion, then he tries very hard to make spiritual advancement. And he starts really crying to the holy name. I'll make one last point. Prasadam's still there, Prabhus. Don't worry, there's a special dispensation. We've got Srivas Thakur looking after each one of you. The Kanishta Bhagavat platform, the consciousness is to a large extent overwhelmed with anartas. In Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Bhajan Rahasya, text 42, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes the point that unless one tries to free himself from anartas, his life meets with nothing but inauspicity. Okay? So then, first of all, there's a need to recognize that we have anartas, modeling ourselves against the standard of pure devotion by reading Prabhupada's books. We can understand, hey, I'm not there. Okay, so then, when we start to recognize that I have very serious defects in my devotion, it's humbling. Okay, so then, what does Lord Chaitanya say in the third text of Shishastakam? Janana Pisa Nichena Chorora Pisa Hishnana Amanina Mandena Kirtaniya Sadahari. So this qualifies us to chant Hare Krishna properly. The helplessness of a child crying for his mother. Not the puffed up, I'm the center of the universe, everything's moving under my control, you know, so many people I've conquered, so much politics I've done and defeated my enemies, you know, Hare Krishna. Okay, I'm helpless. I can't even chant the holy name attentively. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, here's this prayer in Ohe Vaishnava Thakur. I got this from one of the Pune sadhus yesterday morning. Really nice. I asked him, I was having a discussion with my son, how do we chant attentively? I asked him this question, what's your realization? That's his favorite anga, chanting Hare Krishna. Ekaki amara nahi, excuse me, nahi payabala harinama sankirtane tumi kripa koi Shada Bindu Diya Deho Krishna Namadane. I do not find the strength to carry on alone the Sankirtan of the holy name of Hari. Please bless me by giving me just one drop of faith with which to obtain the great treasure of the holy name of Krishna. So we need the blessings of the Vaishnava, the blessings of the previous acharyas to chant attentively. We can't do it on our own strength. So then, getting back to Bhajan Rahasya, in the next verse, Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes that on our own, we cannot free ourselves from anarthas. We can't do it. But after several days of crying to the holy name, then the holy name will free us of these anarthas. So our process is not one of Aroha Panta. It's not the ascending process. It's Avaroha Panta. Srila Prabhupada, in the preface to the Nectar of Instruction, he describes that advancement in Krishna consciousness is dependent upon the attitude of the follower. Sentence, Srila Prabhupada gives us a clue what he means by this. And he says that the followers of the Krishna consciousness movement should all become Goswamis. So this attitude over here, I'm the center of the universe, I'm the enjoyer, I'm the controller, is antithetical to the attitude which is most conducive to making spiritual advancement, where I'm a helpless baby, I need your mercy, Krishna. I'm giving myself, please engage me in your service. Please give me your shelter. Let me enter into the sweetness of Uttama Bhakti. That's the mood. And it can only take place, that kind of understanding can only take place, from my understanding, there can be exceptions to the rule, but for the most part it comes about to becoming learned in Srila Prabhupada's books. Okay. Some people can get that faith and knowledge directly from Krishna. Usually it comes about with the association of the Majjhima, Vaishnava. Sometimes it comes in unique ways. Jayananda, one Mataji, when I said these, made these points in Vrindavan one time, when one senior Prabhupada disciple, Vaishnavi, challenged me. He says, well, what about Jayananda? He was just driving taxi all day and serving the devotees. He was, Prabhupada said, he went back to Godhead. So there are exceptions to the rule. So Shivaram Swami makes this point in Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani. There are exceptions to the rule, but that's the general rule. That's the general qualification. That's the general way in which we have eligibility to advance in Krishna consciousness. Is by our faith and knowledge of Shastra. That's okay. You don't have to enter the Bhakti Shastri course. this November. We'll let you do it the next November, okay? We'll keep working on your Mataji. Hare Krishna.